right. Hey, this is Colin. Just a few more minutes, about 8 minutes until we start the teleseminar. 8 minutes, guys. All right, 5 minutes, about 5 minutes until we start the teleseminar. We'll be right back. right, hey, this is Colin. One more time, about 2.5 minutes until we get started. You might grab a pencil and paper, get ready to take some notes because we're going to cover a lot of information and we're going to cover it pretty fast. I'm going to try to respect your guys' time and not let this run too long. So about 2 minutes and we're going to get started. All right, a little bit over a minute left. I'm going to cover some groundwork on the teleseminar tonight. First off, everybody will be muted. You'll be able to hear us, but we won't be able to hear you. Second is grab a pen and paper. We're going to cover a lot of information very fast. I'm going to try to be respectful of your guys' time tonight, and I don't want to let this run too long. So grab a pen and paper, jot down some notes as we're going. And if you have any questions, we'll be glad to take some emails at the end and get those answered for you. And third, if you've got a cup of coffee or a drink there, go ahead and refill it right now. We're going to get started here in less than 60 seconds.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Dental Doc Talk Radio. My name's Jonathan Moffitt, and with me, as always, is Max Gocher. Today, we are excited to have a special guest with us. He's a bright young man named Colin Receiver, and Colin's company is called SmartBox Web Marketing. You can find Colin's company at www.smartboxwebmarketing.com. Now, you may be asking yourself, there's a lot of marketing guys out there, a lot of website guys out there. Why Colin? Well, I met Colin a few months ago in April in Destin, Florida, and was very impressed with his depth of knowledge in web optimization and not only web optimization, but how to optimize your website and drive new patients at a very affordable rate. And me as a business owner, and that was something that I thought was pretty impressive. But what's more impressive is that Colin actually does what he says he can do. So, I just met Colin in April and I've been very impressed. But Max, you've known Colin for quite a while, is that correct?
Yeah, I guess I first met Colin 10 or 12 years ago. His dad actually is a dentist, and we did some work with his dad back years ago. And I think on one of my visits to his dad's office, I was having some computer problems, and he said, let my son Colin take a look at it. He can probably fix it. And sure enough, he did in about 5 minutes, I think. So he's been, not only involved in all things internet for a long time, but he, again, growing up in a family with his dad as a dentist gives him, I think, a little bit different perspective from maybe a lot of his competitors out there doing what they're doing with websites and search engine optimization and all of those kind of things. So, Colin?
Okay.
Tell us
thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, so Colin, what do you see is the biggest when you sit down and talk to guys? Where are you seeing these doctors, these dentists need the most help when you're talking to a new dentist, not a client? Maybe they have a website up. Maybe they're doing a little bit of marketing. But where are you seeing the the biggest, you know, where these guys need the most help?
Yeah, great question. You know, a lot of guys have a lot of successful aspects already in place in their marketing campaign. You know, there's a lot of dentists have a good website. You know, maybe they have they've had phone training in their office, and they have a lot of successful aspects already rolling, but they're just not happy with the results they've been getting. Generally, what we find is that, you know, when we're looking at a web marketing campaign that maybe they've done some search engine optimization on, they've done, you know, they've built a website in the past, and they've got a few of the aspects, and they're just missing some pieces along the way. There's cracks that these patients are falling into that keeps them from moving from, you know, the search engine to their website to turning them into a phone call and, of course, into a paying patient. And that's the biggest complaint we get is, you know, hey, I've got this website and it just doesn't generate any results. It's not doing anything for us. That's where we are able to help lots of dentists is turning what they have or taking them from the ground up in many cases, from zero to hero, as we call it, from wherever they are to wherever they need to be with using their website as a true marketing tool that is going to pull in patients. You know, not just selling them a shovel, but actually doing the digging for them and showing them how to use it as a marketing tool to leverage it to get an ROI. You know, that's what it comes down to. Marketing is about ROI. It's not an expense. It's when done properly, of course, it is an investment that pays for itself several times over at minimum.
Okay. Yeah, so, Colin, what I tell you what I see a lot of, and I know you probably do as well. Well, let me preface that by saying, yeah, if I go back 12, 15 years ago, I was getting the question a lot from dentists is, do I need a website? Do I need a website? And, you know, that went on for maybe 5 years or so. I rarely anymore find a practice without a website, but, you know, what those websites look like and what they do for the practice varies all over the map. But what I still see a lot of is that, you know, it's an office that, yeah, they jumped in, they got a website, you know, say anywhere from 5 to 10 years ago, but they haven't really done anything to it since then. I mean, yeah, it's a website, but like you said, it's not really generating any business for the practice. So,
mm-hmm. You know, the landscape.
Go ahead.
The landscape constantly changing, and I know that's a theme that all of the marketing companies drive home. But it, you know, it's really the reality. 10 years ago, most docs didn't even have a website. The few that had the website, you know, the fast movers were the ones that were taking the lion's share of the market share, the patients that were searching online 8-10 years ago. Nowadays, you know, most docs have a website of some sort. You know, we see a lot of docs that have 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 websites even. And there are doing all kinds of aggressive marketing with it. The landscape in today's world is, you know, whereas 10 years ago, if you just had a website, you were ahead of the curve. Nowadays, that's almost the status quo. You know, everybody has a website. You know, some guys, you know, the technology's evolved so far that there's even tools out there that you can build your own website in a short period of time without even hiring a marketing person. But with that, you know, with the expansion of the technology and the ease of setting all that up, well, now you have to find a way to go one step above that. 10 years ago, you went one step up and you had a website. Now, well, what's the next step? You have to find some way to differentiate yourself because, you know, patients are searching out there and they see 25 doctors in their area that have a website. Well, what is it that makes that patient choose Dr. X over Dr. Y? So you have to have the mechanics, have the system in place, not just a website that talks about what you do, but have something that makes you stand out in the patient's mind to appeal to that patient. And there's lots of different ways to do that, but it's evolved that, you know, simply just having a website, quote unquote, is, you know, the accepted standard. People go to the web to, you know, find your contact information. You know, you look at Google. Google, several years ago, they started with their local places initiative. And essentially what Google did was they went to the Yellow Pages and they essentially copied everything that's in the Yellow Pages and they plugged it into their Google local places. So they have the largest quote-unquote Yellow Pages phone book directory that is, you know, always changing, always updating. And they essentially created 160 million websites for every small business in America. You know, if you go to Google, whether you know it or not, whether you have claimed it, whether you have gone to Google and said, you know, that's my business, let me edit that information, let me soup up that listing, you have a web page out there on Google that's floating around. It might have your correct information, it might not, but, you know, it's in today's world, and Google's not the only one that's done that. You've got, you know, Google and City Search and Yellow Pages is online now. All the Yellow Books are online, and that's where people search. People look online to find resources they need. People look online to look for the answers to questions that they have, whether it's, you know, looking for a local provider or if it's looking to educate themselves about what kind of provider they might need or what options are best for them.
Colin, you made a comment earlier about when you were talking about the doctor's websites and good website. What makes a good website? What does a good website look like? What should a good website have and what should a good website not have?
Well, in terms of being Google friendly, in today's world, you've got to have lots of content. You know, there's different definitions of good. I'll start with Google good because you have to be friends with Google if you want to be found on the internet. You know, patients don't know who you are. They have to have a way of finding you. In the past, they had a little book that sat in their drawer that they opened up to the dentist page and, you know, flipped through there and the guy with the cutest ad or the biggest ad or the first ad in some cases was the guy they called. Now people go to Google. So you have to play ball with Google. Google wants to see websites that are going to keep their people happy. So if you turn the tables, Google's a company. Google's a business. And Google makes their money through selling advertising. That's if you break it down to very simple terms, Google sells advertising on its search pages. You know, when you search Google, you see those sponsored listings at the top and down the right-hand side. And that is by and far the vast majority of Google's revenue. And if you want to appear in those places, now, of course, you can do pay-per-click and you can hop to the top very quickly, but it gets very expensive very fast. And I'll circle back on that a little bit later. But playing ball with Google, Google wants to keep their searchers happy. The more people it satisfies, the more times the consumer is going to come back to Google, you know, versus their competition, Yahoo or Bing or any of the other search engines. So Google strives to deliver a high-quality result. And Google says that from what it sees, websites that have lots of content, lots of original, unique content, websites that are updated regularly, websites that have lots of multimedia components. Google says, statistically, that when it delivers a search result, when it puts a website number one that has a lot of good content, all those things I listed, that that consumer is happy. So that's essentially what you have to do. Google wants to see its customers happy, like any good business would do. So playing ball with Google means giving them what they want, putting out a lot of content, multimedia, video on your website. That is what the modern consumer wants to see online. And, you know, a good website, a successful website has those features, those aspects that are done well. When Google sees new content and it's well optimized, it has all the keywords that people are searching for, then they're going to rank you higher and, you know, show you to more people. You get more exposure, and it's a compounding effect.
Now, sorry, Colin, you made a comment that marketing is all about ROI, right? And I think, and
correct,
I agree with you. I don't know that there's anyone that wouldn't agree with you. In fact, you know, many would say, in fact, that's the business we're kind of all in, right, Max? Same thing with you.
Right.
We don't produce results as a consultant. If we don't produce results as a you know, as a financial planner, then we're going to lose clients. So it's all about return on investment, and then think that's where it needs to be. So you made the comment that you know, new patients should be generated from the website and the online marketing these guys are doing, whether it's through Facebook and through some other medias. How many new patients should these guys be getting with their websites and online marketing? And if you want to break those up into two separate pieces, that's fine. But, you know, how many new patients should these guys be getting from their website?
And that brings up a number of good points. And the first thing that sticks out in my mind is, how are you tracking what's successful? You know, there's a lot of companies out there that when they're doing the optimization and they build you a website, the only report you get at the end of the month is, you know, hey, you had 300 visitors on your website. And, you know, many dentists, maybe not knowing any better, have accepted that as acceptable. But the truth is, the reality is that, you know, dentists, whether you're a corporate dentist or a privately owned dentist, across the board in the service industry, you're not an Amazon.com selling little widgets. You know, there's not a buy it now button on your website. And hits and clicks on your website, while, you know, it does give you a marker for, you know, you are getting traffic or you're not getting traffic, it doesn't really show you what kind of ROI you have. You know, people in the service industry, myself included, we produce ROI when our phone rings. Dentists aren't getting any new patients if their phone's not ringing. So that's how we judge our success, is based on how many phone calls we can send to a particular dentist. We have, you know, several packages. Some dentists are more aggressive than others. But generally speaking, on we have an intro package, our Web 3.0 package. Within 3 to 6 months, we see anywhere from 30 to 60 phone calls in a given month coming from the web marketing that we do. You know, going forward with that, we had a client last month who's been with us for about 18 months on our Web 3.0 package. He had 164 phone calls from his website and his web marketing last month. So as you continue to do things right online, as you continue to use, you know, what's called a white hat tactic, that's a buzzword in the industry, you know, do things the way Google wants to see it done, the right way, you know, Google continues to promote you. You get your website elevated to more number one positions, and, you know, it's that compounding effect. The better Google ranks you, the more patients see you, the more patients call you. And, you know, when one of the biggest metrics that Google looks for is when they deliver a search result and a consumer clicks on, say, your website, if that consumer clicks back right away, Google looks at that very negatively. And it, you know, it makes sense. They obviously didn't deliver a good search result if that person clicked back and, you know, went back and researched again. So as you, you know, get more number one rankings, you continue to move up the totem pole, so to speak, and Google looks upon that more favorably and more favorably.
Okay.
Does that all make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So is there a number, in other words, do you have a number or a benchmark that you kind of say to a doctor, hey, doc, if you're not getting, 10 new patients a month or 5 new patients a month from your online marketing efforts, then it's time to rethink, the strategy. Is there a number? I know you said there's a couple different ways to measure that, but at the bottom line, these guys are going to measure it as how many new patients are walking through that door that came from some sort of, from their online marketing efforts.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it depends upon what kind of patients the doctors are looking for. And there's a lot of different tactics. Some dentists are, just looking for the bread and butter, and, they're wanting a lot of new patients coming in and a steady flow that they can move through, and they have, maybe 1, 2, 3 doctors in their practice. And that type of marketing obviously is going to have, more new patients than, say, if you're a specialist or if you're only looking for Invisalign or implant cases. If you're drilling down into a niche, you're going to have a higher case size, a higher value per patient, but a lower volume. So it's really going to depend on specific situations. If you're spending, a couple $1,000s a month, $3,000-$4,000 a month on your online marketing, and you're not generating, let's look at the numbers. The overhead in your practice being somewhere 50 to 60, maybe even higher than that, depending on how optimized your internal processes are. If you're not getting 3 or 4 to 1 on the money you're spending, you're not covering your overhead. If you're just getting 2 to 1 on your money, you're just paying your expenses. So, sit down and look at your own numbers. A lot of times a successful marketing campaign doesn't mean that you're doing everything wrong. A bucket does have some solid walls on it, but you have a hole on one side that's leaking water out. Using good tracking methods, using call tracking, you can narrow down and find out where the leaks are in your marketing campaign, and you can stick a plug in it. Sometimes docs will have several marketing campaigns going. One or two of them are going great, and they've got maybe another one or two that are just draining money. And it looks like overall that their marketing is not working. But you drill down and you refine your target market, you refine your advertising message, and you can make them profitable across the board.
Yeah, Colin, you said one thing there a minute ago that I totally agree with, and I tell it to dentists and team members in dental practices all the time. And Colin, and I think we've talked about it before on the radio show too here, Jonathan, is that the reason you do any type of marketing is to make the phone ring. You just don't get very many, but dental offices don't get a lot of walk-in business. 99 out of 100 people are going to call before they come in. And, one thing that I see, and I'm guessing that you see this as well, a lot of times practices put up barriers there at the front desk, the person who's answering the phone, or the person at the phone just is doing a bad job of it. And so, you might have a very nice campaign running, and they may be getting, like this guy that you said here got 664 calls last month. But what's really key is how many of those turned into appointments. So that's something else that the practice owner needs to be aware of. Like you say, if you've got 3, 4, or 5 different campaigns going with different things, you need to be sure you're tracking each one of them to see, which ones. Don't get mesmerized by the fact that you've just got a lot of new patients. You've got to really pay attention and keep track of this. And yeah, the 3 to 1 return on investment, I tell people all the time, that's just the bare minimum. If you're not getting at least 3 to 1, something needs to change.
Yeah. And, you know, that kind of segues into another interesting point of, you know, the phone call tracking is more than just seeing, you know, numbers of what's generated. It's the bridge between your marketing and your practice. And, you know, we record all of the phone calls that come through our Zetetics phone tracking system. And, you know, I'll give you an example. We are working with a new client we brought on about a month and a half ago. And a couple weeks ago during our first monthly review call, looking through the call tracking, we found about 15 phone calls during normal business hours. The majority of them were between 2 and 3 in the afternoon that were flat out not getting answered. And, you know, we could pull this up in a nice pretty report on our system. And we said, you know, what's going on here? Why are, you know, you're missing all these phone calls right in the middle of the afternoon? And the doctor, we're on a conference call with the staff, and the doctor goes, well, you know, surely goes the lunch between, we try to stagger our lunches, surely goes the lunch at 2, and we've only got one person at the front desk answering the phones. Well, that's when you've got volume coming in. You know, that was when they had one person at the desk trying to juggle too many phone lines and they were missing calls.
Surely on a diet.
Yeah. And, you know, new patients aren't going to leave messages. Maybe some, but, you know, they're looking for somebody right now. And you have to have a way to, boom, respond and turn that into an appointment or, you know, they're going to the next result down the search page.
Yeah. You a minute ago, you said something about pay-per-click, and you said you'd circle back to that. What do you have in mind?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a big transition. Well, you know, like everything, marketing tactics change. You know, markets become saturated, costs go up, it becomes less efficient. You've got the same pie that's being split 10 ways instead of 5 ways. And that's kind of what's happened with pay-per-click. You know, 2007, 2008, 2009, even some markets, you know, a year or two ago, you had a few doctors that were running pay-per-click marketing. And, you know, you take a pie and you split it 3 ways and everybody's fat and satisfied. Then, you know, you have all these marketing companies that are pushing pay-per-click and promising these results. So now, compared to 3 or 4 years ago, you've got 15 marketers in a given market area that are all doing pay-per-click. And, you know, the population hasn't grown that much. You're splitting the pie that many more ways. So you take a doctor, I'll give you a real world example. You take a doctor that for the last several years has been spending, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, whatever the number is, a month just on pay-per-click, and they've seen their returns diminishing because, you know, where in 2009, 2010, they were buying clicks for a quarter or 50 cents or a dollar a piece. Now they're paying $2 or $3 per click or maybe more. You know, you go to San Francisco or Chicago, you know, you can hardly even get into the race for less than $5 or $10 a click, which is, you know, just insanity. You know, keep in mind that's not a phone call. That's a single click to your website. You know, 50 cents to $5 is a tenfold increase or decrease. So, you know, you take a $1,000 marketing budget where you used to be getting, you know, 2,000 clicks a month to your website. Now you're at $5 a click and you're getting 20. You know, it's a huge swing in the amount of traffic that you're buying. So in a lot of markets, what we see is, you know, guys have been doing that pay-per-click. It's kind of reminds me of the Yellow Pages. You know, they did it for so many years, they're scared to cut back because, you know, it used to work. And they know it used to work because it you know, they proved it. But now that things have changed, they're a little timid, a little gun-shy to try new things, and they're blowing this money. And, you know, it varies by market. I feel confident saying this in most markets right now, pay-per-click is not the best return just simply because every marketing company in the country has been pushing it for the past 3 or 4 years. And it's just saturated. It's, you know, it's like anything. You know, get saturated, the costs go up, and it's a bidding war. That's essentially what your Google AdWords, your pay-per-click is.
Okay, I have a question, you know, on that pay-per-click, because Colin, you and I had a conversation about that back in when I saw you in Destin, Florida, a few months ago. So this is probably a two-part question here, but the first part is, you know, a lot of emphasis, it seems like, on when I'll talk to doctors, I'll be meeting with some clients, and they'll say, yeah, you know, Jonathan, I'm not on the first page of Google, or I'm on the fifth page of Google. Okay, so the first part of the question is, how big of a deal is it for these guys to be on the first page of Google? And, you know, when they search, for example, dentist in Carlsbad, California, right? Where, how important is it for them to show up on the first page of that search result? And the second part of that is, how difficult is that to do without doing pay-per-click?
Sure. Yeah, I'm going to break that up into a three-part question because it's somewhat of a game. And I'll start with kind of explaining how the game works. You know, getting to the first page of Google is paramount. 90%, 92%, I've seen different statistics, but it's overwhelmingly, consumers do not click the page two. And you're going to have about a 65% distribution of clicks are going to go to the first four results on the first page. So not only do you want to be on the first page, but you want to be at the top of the first page because that's where the action is. You know, that's the first thing people see. That's where everybody is going to be clicking. So that's first and foremost, you've got to be at the top of the first page if you want to be found. If you don't want to be found, yeah, page two is great.
You know, Colin, at that point, too, I mean, I think what Jonathan was asking is about page ranking in terms of your generic ranking, if I'm using the right term there. I mean, I'm seeing pages now where there's so much of the paid stuff at the top that, I mean, where we used to see 10 or 12 generic listings on a page, now there's so much of the paid stuff at the top that you're down to maybe only 3 or 4 or 5 generic listings on the first page.
Oh, yeah.
You know, correct me now if I'm not using the proper terminology there, but, you know, when you search for something on Google and what comes up, there's that little shaded box at the top, kind of yellowish, tannish, whatever color it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all paid listings.
It is, and, you know, Google has experimented so much that some people it's a yellow shaded box, some people it's a blue shaded box, some people it's purple. You know, Google, they test unbelievable amounts of data, and you know, they test that. But that brings up another good point. Let me circle back to the game I was chatting about. You know, showing up number one on Google is paramount, but what are you showing up number one for? And you have to understand kind of the psychology of how patients search to understand what you want to show up for. You know, a lot of dentists think that, you know, if a patient within 50 miles of them searches for dentist, that they want to show up number one for that, and, you know, that's the holy grail. And that's generally not true. Patients, when they search, they're going to start out with a very general term, dentist, you know, dentist in Dallas. And as they learn more about the field they're searching in, you know, so they search for dentist in Dallas, and they look at the search results and they scroll down the page and they go, you know, I don't just want a dentist. I want a pediatric dentist or I want a dentist that specializes in dentures, or, you know, I'm looking for a dentist that has a special offer right now that I can take advantage of. Or maybe they're looking for a family dentist, or, you know, maybe they know they have a root canal that they're having trouble with, an old root canal, and they want to know who is best to fix that kind of problem. So the consumer is very educated, and they're going to drill down into what they're looking for. So they might search, look at the results, maybe click on a couple pages, and then go back to Google and search again. And search for a pediatric dentist in Dallas. Now they're getting somewhere. Now they're starting to find what they want, or family dentist in Dallas, or whatever it is that that consumer is looking for. They want to find exactly what's available. And, you know, with the internet, it's really available at their fingertips. So they drill down and they drill down, and finally they find a result that fits this idea that they have in their head, and they pick up the phone and call. So getting to the search terms that people are actually ready to call is where you want to focus your money. You know, dentist in Dallas is a term that, you know, you'd be lucky to get into the game on the pay-per-click side for $5 or $10 a click. On the organic side, you've got 5,000 dentists that are fighting for that term. And, you know, organically, it's going to take a lot of time and money to get into that. And, you know, of course, a lot of time and money to stay, to maintain a ranking in that kind of market. As you go into the subsections, you know, going into what's called a long tail keyword, 3- and 4-word search terms, you can get into those games for a lot cheaper, a lot less competition. And the ROI is just as good, typically better, because you're not spending as much to get there. And then as you build, the interesting thing with Google is Google has really gotten a lot smarter. As you optimize for different terms, say you optimize for pediatric dentist and you optimize for family dentist, and then you optimize for cosmetic dentistry, Google will realize that you're focused on those three terms, and they will start to intermingle the search terms. So as you get ranked for more 3- and 4-word search queries, it now becomes easier and cheaper for you to rank for 1- and 2-word search queries that people are searching for. So it's a kind of a blurring effect, if you will. It all gets blurred together, and Google sees that, hey, this website is ranked well for these three terms. Now, you know, let's try them out and try them in some 1- and 2-word search terms. And if you've been working at it and you've got a killer website, and the consumers are going to respond to that.
I know one thing that you're doing with your clients, and I think this is something that maybe a lot of dentists up there, especially ones that I was referring to earlier that, you know, put their website up 5 or 10 years ago and haven't done much to it since then. But talk to us for a couple of minutes about having your site optimized to work on a smartphone, a mobile device.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mobile devices are huge. The boom has already exploded.
Yeah.
You know, just like 10 years ago, there were, you know, websites were the new craze, and guys were jumping on that bus. The mobile websites, the bus has already left the station. You know, people, there was a statistic on Google over the summer sometime, June, July-ish, August maybe even, that 52% of all local – let me make sure I get this right. Let me see if I can pull it up here in front of me. It was 52% of all local services were searched for on smartphones versus on a desktop computer these days.
Wow.
So, you know, consumers looking for plumbers and electricians and dentists and any kind of local service are searching now on mobile devices – you know, iPads, iPhones, Androids,
right.
iPods, instead of on desktop computers.
I remember. I remember even as recently maybe 8 or 10 years ago, is you'd be going through your day doing whatever you're doing, and if you thought of something you wanted to look up later when you got home on your computer, you'd make a note of it on something. And I'd get home. Some days I'd have 2 or 3 or 4 things on there. Some days I'd have 8 or 10 things that I'd want to sit down at the computer later that evening and look up. And now, if the thought flashes through my head, I'm immediately on my phone looking it up. I mean,
I heard Gary Vaynerchuk, the social media icon. I follow him quite a bit, and he was talking at one of his lectures. I saw him in person in Arizona earlier this year, and he made a joke. He said, billboard advertising. He said, who looks at billboards these days? He said, people are barely watching the road in front of them over their mobile phone. They don't have time to look at the billboards. And it's the truth. We've shifted to a instant gratification society. We have a thought. It's translated instantly by our thumbs on this little touchscreen device, and boom, pops the answer. And your website should have your mobile website. Not only needs to pop up first when people search there, but you need to have a click the call button on your website. And your website pops up, and they take their thumb and they push call, and it automatically dials the number on their mobile phone for them and calls your office. So they don't even have to, once they pull up your mobile site, they don't even have to thumb the number in anymore. This generation of iPhone and Android users just clicks on the button, and it does the rest for them.
That's great. What about reviews, Colin? I know that's something that I know that's good reviews and all, or play some part in your page ranking, right? And then part two of the question, what about the, negative reviews? It seems like, in most practices, even asking people to go on and write reviews, there's still just not a big percentage of people that will go on and do that for you. But, you make somebody mad, and they're instantly telling everybody in their circle of friends through Twitter and Facebook and everything else, not to mention the fact that they can go on and put a negative review on a web review page. Do you see much of that going on?
Oh, all the time. I read Dental Pound's online forums. I keep an eye on it. And a couple days ago, you may have heard and this has happened a couple times, and it makes national headlines every time it happens. There's a dentist up in New York that is suing a patient because they left a bad online review. Mm-hmm. And there was a dentist out in Washington that did it last year and ended up going bankrupt. And it baffles me that, dentists think they can fight fire with fire on this topic. Because every time it happens, it just makes national headlines, and it's horrible, horrible PR. But, as I'm going through this thread on Dental Town, there's a good number of docs that are responding and saying, I don't do the online reviews. I don't participate in that. I don't do that. I don't recommend it. I don't want any part of it. It should be illegal. They shouldn't be allowed to post that stuff online. And, I kind of chuckle, and I made a post, and, basically it's the way our society's going. The online reviews are here to stay. Whether you're on the bench or you're in the game playing, the game is happening. The game is being played whether you're on the sidelines or you're included, or whether you include yourself. And it is a huge part. It plays into the ranking factor that Google figures, how people are ranked on. Good reviews, you rank higher. Lots of reviews, you rank higher. In fact, there was Google actually had a bug in their algorithm about a year and a half ago, where they only counted the number of reviews people had gotten, a business had received, to determine their ranking. And there was it wasn't a dentist, It was just some random business out in California had like 20 horrible reviews, and he was appearing number one because he had 20 reviews and nobody else had any. And since then, Google's fixed that, and now it, you know, they, you have to get good reviews to rank up top. But yeah, very critical importance to, you know, be playing that game. And I think one of the cracks in the floor is that, you know, when you get a bad review, another big complaint I hear is that, you know, dentists can't respond to it because it might violate HIPAA or it might violate some kind of confidentiality with the patient. But that's not what online reviews are about. You know, it's not about proving who's right or wrong. Online reviews are a way that, you know, if a patient didn't have a favorable experience, if they didn't feel like they were treated right, they're going to talk about it online. And all of your prospects are going to see it when they search for your name or your business name. Dentists need to be out there responding, not in a way to prove who's right or wrong, not in, you know, you're not out there to stretch your shoulders and, you know, prove that, you know, that patient, you know, that insurance deal that got fouled up, you know, that was the patient's responsibility. And, you know, they signed the release form that says they're responsible for getting reimbursement from their insurance. That's not what it's about. It's all about customer service. You know, in some ways, I feel like maybe my grandparents' generation is more equipped to deal with this oncoming social media and review revolution than my generation is, because my grandpa understood customer service. He understood that it's not about what you do. It's about how you handle and how you set expectations. And, you know, you get a negative review online, okay, you don't have to prove you're right. You know, your front staff probably already tried to prove they were right, and that's why you're getting a bad review. It's all about customer service. Get on there, you know, make a nice post, say you're really sorry, come back, give us a second chance, call my cell phone directly, or if you know who the patient is, you know, pick up the phone after work one day and call the patient. You know, I'll use my own experience here. I got married almost 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and we used a local, you know, tux place, well-known, you know, rented from them before, had a great experience, and for whatever reason, all the tuxes we rented fell apart. I mean, literally, buttons were popping off, the little adjustment thing on the side of my pants broke, and I had to use a paper clip for my own wedding to hold my pants up. I mean, it was a horrible experience. And, you know, I when I went to drop the tuxes off, I said, you know, this was horrible. And the girl at the front desk was kind of snotty, and she was like, oh, well, sorry about your experience. Well, that didn't satisfy me. So I left them a negative review online. A couple days later, I get a call from the owner. He wanted to come in. He wanted me to come back and talk about it. I met with him. He made it right in my mind. He fixed the problem. He offered me, he made it right. And that's what it's about. It's not about proving who's right and wrong. It's about customer service. And, you know, I think that's my, did I answer that completely for you, Max?
You did. Yeah. I would just add one thing, to that, Colin. And I don't think there are many doctors out there thinking about this yet, but I'm seeing it in some of the practices that I deal with, where if the practice, let's say the practice is seeking to hire a new front desk person or a new dental assistant or a hygienist, or maybe even they're looking for an associate dentist to come in, go to work for them. Those people now are searching to see what kind of reviews you and your office are getting. And I know some specific cases where people have said, no, I'm not even going to bother to go there for an interview, because they've got all these negative reviews. I don't want to work in a place like that.
Yep.
You know, so it's, I think for the better, really, long-term, if people really get their heads out and, you know, get with it on this, that this is going to improve customer service, hopefully, and it's certainly going to be a way to separate practices, so to speak, you know, the good ones that get all the good reviews from the ones that get the negative reviews. It's going to, you know, I would say that those people that are getting negative reviews are going to probably have to spend more and more and more dollars to keep their new patients coming in. I think we're about out of time. I just wanted to ask you one other thing, Colin, and I don't know how prepared you are to talk about this, and certainly I think we've shown here that there's plenty that we can talk about. Maybe we'll have you on again someday. But, you know, without going into a lot of detail, I think you're starting up a program. I don't think you're even advertising it yet, where you're going to give a little bit of a special break to a young dentist or a dentist that hasn't been in practice very long. Give us, a thumbnail view of that, and then maybe when we have you on the show again, you can go into detail.
Yeah, that's in fact, we're not even launching it until really next month, but I know I've sent you over some details on it.
Right.
It's our No Dentists, our No Smart Dentists Left Behind scholarship program. And, you know, what we saw was that a lot of dentists getting started, you know, coming out of school with debts and buying practices, starting practices and equipment purchases, you know, all the insanity. I don't need to talk any more about that. I think that's enough said. But they, you know, they're looking at their marketing and they oftentimes will choose a marketing place, you know, based on what they can afford in today's world. And, you know, it's like patching a broken water line versus, you know, replacing the section. You know, it's oftentimes not the best in the long run. What we're going to be offering is a way that young dentists, new practice owners can get the solid marketing advice, you know, get a website that is going to grow with them, that is going to be something that they can expand on and is going to be a platform that, you know, I'll give you one example. A lot of dentists, they come out and they buy a little cheap template website for, you know, $50 a month, whatever it is, no setup fee. And what they find is after they've been in practice for a couple of years, that, you know, the template website doesn't have any ranking. And, yeah, they had a web page, but it has no SEO. And, yeah, you can spend pay-per-click and drive a bunch of traffic to it. But like I said earlier, the ROI isn't there in a lot of markets. So what we want to do is we want to get new dentists into a website, into a marketing platform that is going to grow and is going to scale with them as their practice scales. And, you know, we want to get in at the ground level. And we are going to be offering a package, our Web 3.0 package, for only for new docs, new practice owners, at on our scholarship program. I don't have all the specifics hammered out just yet, but
that's fine.
Over a 50% discounted rate, basically, it's at our direct labor cost. We're not even paying to keep our lights on, so that we can get docs in at ground level. We can get them in a system that, you know, 2 years from now, they're going to have a kick butt ranking. Instead of 2 years from now, they're starting from scratch again because they bought a cheap template website because that's all they could afford. We want to get them into a solid platform. So, yeah, that's on the horizon.
That's great. Well, Colin, we appreciate having you on. Are there any you know, quote-unquote last words you'd like to say before we sign off here? And also I want to make sure that you give everyone your phone number, email address, and website information for them to contact you. We'll also have Colin's contact information on the description of the radio show on the website as well. So you can click directly on that link to get to Colin's website. But Colin, why don't you give us a few closing remarks and then your contact information for everyone to get in touch with you.
Yeah, if you're a doc that is not getting results from your website, or you don't know what results you're getting, or you're not happy with the results you're getting, I leave my phone line open to you to give us a ring. We offer no obligation, just a free consultation, 15-minute chatting to see what you're doing, where you're at, and where you're trying to get to. My direct line is 502-509-1413, and that'll ring right here at my desk. Promise is that I can't always answer all the calls live, but I do promise to get back to you within an hour is what I shoot for. So if you have any questions about your website or marketing, or are looking for some direction on how to find the patients that you want to attract, feel free to give us a call.
And that's smartboxwebmarketing.com, is that correct?
Smartboxwebmarketing.com, that is correct.
Okay.
Great. Well, Colin, we really appreciate you being on the show with us. I know you've done a lot of work with Max. You and I have spoken several times. You're one of the good guys. So we're happy to have you on the show. Again, we'll have links to Colin's website, and in addition to email address and contact information for Colin, on the description of the show page. So please check that out and give Colin a call. And Max, anything else you wanted to add before we sign off?
Nope. That's it for me. Yep.
All right. Well, we appreciate you for listening, and we'll talk with you guys next month. Thanks, guys.
Sounds great. Thanks for your time, guys.
Bye.